Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Titus, chapter 2. Titus, chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. We'll read this passage responsively. But speak thou things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound in speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do in this place. Father, we have asked many, many times before that your presence would be here. And as you promised, it is. Now, Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Change our lives. Change our homes. May we do our part here in this part of the country to have strong, godly, biblical-based homes so that we could do a great work for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Well, we have been taking some time on Sunday nights to discuss this subject, how to keep your house a home. This is one of my favorite subjects in the whole world to speak on. It wasn't long ago. I speak out across the country, and my favorite thing to do is to speak at married couples retreats and on the family and on the home. And that's because I think it's one of the greatest needs in America today. We've got to do something about getting our homes. You know what we need to do? A lot of people just need to reorganize their homes. You just need to reorganize them and set them up scripturally to where God can bless them. We were reading there in the book of Titus, and you see here the words talking about a lady being a keeper at home. I described that to you. I told you when the Bible talks about a lady being a keeper at home, it's talking about a lady guarding the home. Now, remember this. There's a difference in a house and a home. A house is made of wood, brick, carpeting, nails, a home. What's it made of? A home is made of love, patience, forgiveness, and relationships. I was counseling a young person this week, and I said, listen to me very carefully. If you had everything you ever dreamed of, but you were on this earth alone, what would it mean to you? And this is what he said. It means nothing. I said, wonder if you had the car that you've always wanted. It was your dream car. You could drive it anywhere you wanted, but there was nobody to look at it, nobody to share it with. What would it mean to you? He said, well, I guess nothing. I said, people are what this life is about for you and I. People in God. God expected us to live on this earth and to get our eyes off of things and get our eyes on people. If someone said, well, you know, Brother Owens, I don't have a lot of money. How could we have a nice house? Why don't you try to have a nice home? It does not take money to have a nice home. If you're talking about the house, the brick, the wood, there are so many people that have nice houses, but they don't have nice homes. I'd rather have a nice home than a nice house. I would rather be a person that's poor and with no money at all, living in a tent, but have my family and in good order, than to live in a castle and have my family in disarray and have my family living their life in an unscriptural fashion. I told you this. The Bible talks about God being a triune God. That word tri, that prefix, T-R-I, meaning three. Our God is a three-part God. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father then pictures the husband or the man of the house, and then God the Son, Jesus, pictures the children, which leaves, by process of elimination, the lady being a picture of, or the Holy Spirit being a picture of the lady in the house. And the Bible says a lady is to be keeper at home. And what that's talking about, a lady is to guard her home. You've heard me say it over and over again. The word keeper is found in many places in the Bible. There's a keeper of the prison, and a keeper of the wardrobe, and a keeper of the gates, keeper of the vineyard, a keeper of the field. When you play soccer, or if you play hockey, there is the goalie, and there's a nickname or another name for the goalie. We call him the keeper. What's his job? It's to protect that little area, to keep the enemy from shooting into that area and scoring against his team. Now, when the Bible talks about a lady being keeper at home, she is to be the protector or the guard of the spirit of that home, remembering she is a picture of the Holy Spirit in the home. Now, most men think when the Bible says she's to be a keeper at home, that means she's to do the laundry, and she's to do the dishes, and she's to do the ironing. Now, those things, I think, are a part of having a good spirit in a home. But there's more to it than that. The man is to establish the scriptural guidelines in the home. He's to get himself right with God. He's to stay close to God. He's to find out what God wants in his home, and then he is to establish those principles and guidelines. His wife is to very willingly say, I want to keep this thing going. I am willing to serve God. I'm willing to keep that atmosphere. And she takes her spirit, and her spirit is to protect or guard the principles and guidelines that dad sets up. Now, that dad is the head of the home, but God is the head of dad. The husband is to be the head of the household, but God is to be the head of the husband. I know men that will take something like what I'm teaching, and they'll say, that's right, I want my wife to listen to me. I want my kids to listen to me. Well, let me say this. That's right, you're to listen to God, sir. You may find that your family may submit to you on an equal basis as how much you submit to God. I'll tell you what, Brother Owen, my wife, she's a rebel. Well, how you doing with God? Now, it's not always true. Sure, there are wives and kids that will live in a home that won't submit to dad while dad is busy submitting to the things of God. And I don't have much respect for that. Let me tell you that right now. But, dad, you make sure you're submitting to God. This thing of being head of household, you're going to give answer to God for what goes on in your household, just like I'll give answer to God for what goes on in my household, and I'll give answer to God for what goes on here in the church. Oh, but wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if we just do it God's way? Wouldn't it be wonderful if every man would say, I'm going to submit to God. The Bible will literally be my guide for everything that goes on in my house, whatever entertainment, I'm going to clear it through the Bible. Whatever goes on in our house, it's going to be done according to the Bible. And dad makes that decision. And mom just decides to be a sweet, humble, submissive lady and say, that's what we'll do. I was thinking that my wife, I'm so pleased. We've been married for many, many years. Mrs. Owens will come to me when she picks out her clothing. She comes to me and she says, honey, is this modest? Would this embarrass you in any way? She said, I don't want to be immodest. I don't want to embarrass you. And she, of course, is always modest, and she has never embarrassed me with her clothing. But I wonder, could you ladies do that? And I will guarantee you, if I said I would prefer you not to wear that, she wouldn't say, Phew. My wife would say, oh, well, that's fine. That's fine. She allows me to lead the home. Boy, it is so quiet. Wait, you don't believe the Bible? That's what the Bible says. Oh, the lady then should protect the spirit of home. Ladies, the spirit of your home, you ought to be protecting it. The good things of your home, you shouldn't be the negative one. You should be the positive one. You ought to keep that home a happy place. And I don't mean by giving in to every one of your kids' little whims and wishes about being in the world. I'm talking about you, with a good attitude, show your children how much you love God, how pleasant it is to serve God, and they would just like to be like mom or be like dad. They would like to follow that example. Now, I say this, and I've said it almost every week, and I want to say it again. The Bible's clear. The husband is to be the supporter of the home. You're to support your household. It's your job to go out and earn the money and support your household. Now, if indeed your wife is pitching in and helping with that, if she is helping you with your job, then you should help her with hers. Yes, I think the lady is to care for her household. Yes, she is to do the ironing and the laundry and those type things. But I'll tell you something, buddy. If your wife's at work all day long and you're at work all day long, and then when you get home at night, you pop her down there on the couch like a couch potato and expect your wife to work all night and all day Saturday and all day Sunday, and she's been working all week just like you, that's not fair. That's not fair. That's not how it's supposed to be. So if she's going to help you with your job, you ought to be helping her with her job. Oh, and I had a man one time say this to me, and I'm glad that he did. He said, Brother Owens, he said, the reason my wife is working is because she spends money so fast. She's got us so deep in debt with credit cards, I finally told her, I can't keep up. You're going to have to get a job. He said, I didn't necessarily want her to go out and earn money. I would have loved for her to have been able to stay home and be a housewife. She created the mess that we're in. I said, well, ma'am, I guess you did it. You did it. Now, listen, I know it seems old-fashioned, but you know how it all's supposed to start out? The husband earns a living. The wife, she's the keeper at home. And the children obey mom and dad. Now, that is a pure explanation of exactly what the Scripture teaches. Now, if you're going to have a home that's the right kind of home, then you need to do it on purpose. Some of you say, well, maybe you're a man. And we have men in our church that are rearing their children on their own. You can do it, Dad. You can do it. If that is the curveball that life has thrown you can do it, and you can rear good kids. You may just then have to allow the Holy Spirit of God to be the keeper at home. Let Him be the Spirit in your home. If you're a lady and you're rearing your kids by yourself, you can do it. You can do it. You can rear good kids, and you can have a decent family. Don't throw the towel in and say, well, you just can't do this. Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can do it. You will have to let God be the head of your household, and you can do this thing. I told you, there's some things that I would like to suggest that you put into your family or into your home that will help you to have the right kind of a home and the right kind of an atmosphere. First of all, I said, I think you ought to eat at least one meal a day as a family. Slow down, take some time, and eat together as a family. Number two, I said decorate your home in a livable way. Realize that when the kids are growing up, they get rambunctious, they get to having fun, and don't make it so they're terrified to be in the house. Make it so that they can live in the house. Oh, but at the same time, let's not make it so it's filthy and dirty. I mean, you need to clean your house. So some people are neat freaks to the point that nobody enjoys the house, and others are pigs. And there's some of you need to clean your house. You need to clean your house. It ought to be clean. If Jesus Christ were coming to your house tomorrow, would you clean it up? Let's keep our homes clean. Let's keep our property clean. Number three, have some family projects and enjoy them together. Number four, establish a weekly family night or a family time where your family's all together. Number five, make a big deal out of Sundays. Sundays ought to be a special day. It is the day of rest. It ought to be a day when the entire family spends time together. Number six, I said set together in church. And you've heard me say this. I'm for our young people setting down front. I believe get under the spout where the blessing comes out. I'm for that. But young people, if you're not going to sit down front in church, sit with mom and dad. And I want to remind you, no young people, I think it's under the age of 18 or 19, or to be in the balcony without their mom and dad being present. I've been seeing that some on Sunday mornings. Parents, you help me administrate that. There's a reason for that. I don't want young people up in the balcony. And I'm so pleased. You've heard me say this before. I'm glad our young people come down front. I'm glad they don't hide in the back rows and they try to get as far away from the preaching as they can. And to every young person here, if you're listening to what's being said on Sunday night, you can have a happy family. You could do this. You say, well, I'm not married yet, Brother Owens. One of the best times in the world for you to learn how to have a good home is sitting right here in church while you're a young person and saying, I'm going to do that. And I'll tell you why, young people. Some of you young men, look up here and listen to me. Because there are some men in this place that would like to have what I'm explaining, but their wife won't let them. Well, buddy, you could establish it now and decide now and then be careful not to marry some woman that would not submit to wanting to have a scriptural home. Some of you young ladies, you want to be careful now. You listen right now, you teenage girls. You want to marry the right man because there are ladies in this church tonight say, Brother Owens, I'd love to have that, but their husband won't let them. He has no interest in serving God. He really has no interest in doing things God's way. So every young person here this evening, you set up and you pay attention and you learn right now how you want it to be the day that you get married. Then, I said, don't let your in-laws invade your home. Some have wonderful in-laws. Others struggle with their in-laws. You make sure that you take care of that tight little family unit of yours, your husband, your wife, and your kids. Love your family. Love your in-laws. But don't you let them destroy your family. You do what's right. You do what's right. Then, enjoy a simple yearly family vacation. Make sure it's clean and decent. It includes church and modesty and decency. And you be careful. You know, anybody that gets out of schedule has the opportunity to do things that they should not do. I can't go anywhere where people don't see me. And you, there's nowhere that you don't go that people don't see you. Say, well, when we get out of this area, we'll live it up and we'll do some things that we can't do around the church. Church people might see us. Boy, that is a double standard. Boy, you are a phony. Boy, are you teaching your kids bad things? Get away from church and get away from the preacher and live a different way? Excuse me? You want to confuse your kids? My wife and I, we one time took our children, somebody gave us free tickets to, what's that place down in Florida? Disney World. We went down to Disney World, and I thought to I was so glad. I travel, I go places all the time, and I thought, this is going to be great. We'll go down there, nobody will know us, I can let my hair down. I do have long hair. I said, I'll let my hair down. We got down there, started to walk in the front door, great big group of teenagers came over. Oh, Brother Owens, would you sign this, would you sign that? Oh, we've heard you preach before. I thought, oh, we can't get away from them anywhere. This week, we took the young people. Our young people had a soul winning marathon, and all day in our Christian school, our young people went soul winning. Had over 120 people saved. And this week, we took them as a reward. I told them, if you give your very best on that soul winning day, I'll take you all up to Hershey Park. Now, we had never been there before, and I thought, you know, we'll probably be the only people up there that look like Christians and act like Christians, but we're going to go up there. We did. We walked right in the front door, and here come a church group. They came over, said, oh, Brother Owens, glad to see you. Hey, we didn't know you were going to be here. You want to know something I've learned? You're not going to get away from people that know how you ought to behave. Everybody is somewhere going to see you. And don't be sneaking off on your vacations and doing wrong. Don't be sneaking off and living any lower level than what you live in the presence of God and the presence of the church people. Because if you do, you're confusing your kids. You're saying you live one way at church and another way at home, and that's not good for your kids. But enjoy it, a family vacation. And honestly, some of you need to learn something. Your kids are not going to be little forever. You're going to wish you would have done some vacationing with them and created some memories. Some of you that, well, I'm going to work through my vacation again this year. If you're not careful, you'll work through every one of them all the way until your kids are gone. And you look back and realize that 1 week pay, you would have been better off taking a very simple vacation and doing without the pay and taking a little time for your wife and your kids. You say, well, I don't need it, sir. You know, you're a man. I don't need it. Well, your wife probably does. And your children probably do. Then I said, teach your children to have simple tastes. Don't make glamorous things the norm. Don't make special things the norm. Just keep their tastes simple. Then I said, learn to sing with your family. Learn to sing with your family. You know, that would keep such a good spirit in your home if you just learn to sing with your family. I love hearing the Williamsons sing tonight. And I just love to hear families sing together. Then I said, say, I love you often. Then we said, elevate the spiritual leaders in your family's life. Listen, folks, if you go home and you either by innuendo or just pointedly gossip and tear down the spiritual leadership in your children's life, you are tearing down leadership of which you are one. Right. If you criticize leadership to your kids, especially the spiritual leadership, you're hurting yourself. Because your kids are learning it's okay to attack the leadership. Boy, years and years ago, some of the gray hairs in here would say, that's right, Brother Owens, that's right, that's right. But a bunch of you have been brought up in this world of critical people. Everybody critiques everything. You go to the secular universities today and they tell you there's no rights definitely and wrongs definitely, and you're set up to learn to be a critic. I don't think we ought to live our life that way. Then I said, talk about what a wonderful home you have. Look at the positives in your home and remind your children and remind your family how good it is. I said something about having some family parties. I said we need to learn to praise the Lord together and create an atmosphere of praising, not criticizing. I said create memories for your family and have things that they'll remember for the rest of their life. And then we said have the entire family attend the individual's activities. Remember, if there's a ball game at the Christian school, have the entire family come. If there's an awards night, let the entire family come. Make the church events family events. Boy, if there's some church activity, I don't think your teenagers ought to be running off to go to some dance and you coming to the church. No, your kids ought to come to church with you. They ought to just come to church with you. And so now, let's get on to some new things. Number 18, establish a family altar or a time of devotions. Now, what are we talking about? Actually taking some time in your home to talk about the Lord, talk about the Bible, and to pray together. That will, to some of you, would be such a major change, but my wife and I, the very day we got married, established devotions in our home. We took a little time, back before we even had children. We read the Bible a little bit each day. You say, why? Because we are to walk with God at home and at church. And so we took a little time, and every day as our kids were growing up, we took a little time, we read the Bible together. Boy, you hear the stories of years gone by, kids growing up, mom and dad reading them the Bible, and families praying together. Well, you don't hear a lot of young families talk about that anymore, do you? Oh, I think we need to get back to spending a little time around the things of God in our homes. Maybe it is that you would want to teach your children a little character lesson. Or maybe you'd all memorize a verse together. Hey, and if dad's not home, a lady can do it with dad being gone. You can take prayer requests among your children. Now, every day we opened our Bible, we spent a little time in the Bible. We prayed together as a family. When my little ones, they were stair steps, had our four kids, and prayer with those little ones was so exciting. It was so exciting. They would I'm not promoting this, but they would virtually get into prayer competitions. We'd all be on we'd actually get on our knees. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been on your knees with your entire family at your home? You say, well, that's strange. No, that's not strange. What would be strange about that? Well, I can remember time and time again, the entire family, we'd be on our knees, maybe stretched out through the living room, and we'd all be across the couch. My kids, you know about cheating when you pray, you know, looking. I hear them, and we would start with the oldest child down to the youngest, and that way the youngest had time to think about what they were going to pray about, and then Mrs. Owens would pray, and I would pray, and boy, can I remember the kids. And when they'd run out of things to pray, what they would come up with, bless mommy and bless daddy and Charlotta and Jeremiah and Josh and the curtains, bless the window and our door and the bird the bird in the window. Pray. The bird and my sore head. Bless. We get so tickled. And I mean, I remember one time hearing my kids, we were praying and they were looking at the bookshelf and the books, the A book and the B book and the C book and the D book and the E book. It was so cute. But we did it. We did it. Say, is that praying? We spent our time and we took time and we prayed together as a family. Hey, let me tell you something. And someday I'm going to go into this in more detail. And I don't mean anytime soon, but I want to talk to you about how we had our devotions. But don't make it boring. Don't make it, some people want to sit down with their kids and, well, we're going to take an hour and go deep into the Word of God. Your kids will be gagging all over the place if you do. You'll make them hate the Bible. Oh, ours was quick. It was simple. We read a few verses. We may have sang a song, took some prayer requests, prayed, and we were done. That's something else we did. We didn't have, you can do yours any way you want, but we didn't have devotions, family devotions on church nights because we'd already been to church. So we didn't do it on Sundays. We didn't do it on Wednesdays. And if there had been some revival, revival for service. We didn't do it on those nights. There are times we might have even had, if we'd been out late, maybe at the family, we'd do it in the car on the way home. We'd say, all right, who has a prayer request? And we did this so long with our kids when the kids were little. If Mrs. Owens and I ever decided to skip it, like, oh, we're just tired. We don't want to take the time for this. We'd go home and say, all right, everybody to bed. And the kids would come in and say, are we not going to have devotions? I'm thinking, you rat. Don't you know I'm tired? No, I do not want to pray. I want to go to sleep. But I don't have any regret. I don't have any regret. Listen, it'll be good for them. It's good for them to see mom and dad with the Bible. It's good for them. And again, you say, that scares me. Just read a verse or two. Ask who wants to pray about something. Pray about it and go to bed. Or do it in the morning or whenever. I think we all better realize what's important. We better really realize the value of our homes. Listen to this. While driving home from work one day, my total wealth I did survey. My mortgaged home, an ancient car, a bank account not up to par. Furniture from which I fear we may not get another year. The computer with a stamp-sized screen and carpets with that well-worn sheen. Two suits of clothes not quite threadbare, all-purpose shoes that need repair. Sadly, then I saw my plight after 23 years of toil and flight. My treasure chest was somewhat small with house and car and clothes and all. On I drove, fighting back a tear, when suddenly my home was near. Your daddy's home, I heard her cry, as four pair of feet went rushing by. And smothered in arms and soft brown hair, I then realized I was actually a millionaire. Folks, God has given you something precious if you have children. And the fact that Brother Owens would say to a dad, why don't you slow down? Take a moment, say, kids, let's all just sit down here in the living room for a moment. Dad wanted to read you something from the Bible. And if you have a prayer request, I'd like to pray for you. And let's pray. I don't think that's unreasonable. What a tremendous gift God has given you. If you have children, they're very valuable. Realize how valuable. And I say, decide to have some devotions with your family. Number 19, try not to move too much. Try not to move too much. I'm talking about relocating. You need your family to feel like that house is a part of your home. Remember now, the house is made of brick and wood, but the home is made up of people and relationships. There comes a time, folks, when you need to settle down, lock in, and rear your family and grow old where you live. Amen. You just need to do that. The strong families of yesteryear were families that passed the house down from grandma and grandpa to the kids and from the kids to the grandkids. And that was just home. It smelled like home. It looked like home. And it was home. Our families in America are just spinning because they're moving from here to here to here to here. And we need to just slow down and lock in. Your kids need to know where home is, especially in their teenage years. Now, I've always been one that felt like you take a young couple. I think probably they need to get them a little starter home and live in it for a few years, build up a little equity, and then eventually they need to buy what I call their permanent home and just stay there. I mean, just stay there. All your decisions about your house should not be based on what it means to you financially. Money, 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 money. Oh, I gotta move up, gotta move up. Well, what about your kids feeling like the room they're in is their room? That's their house. That's their backyard where they buried the neighbor's cat. I know you may not think that's important, but let me tell you something. That's important. Our families need some security. The families used to get a piece of property, and boy, it just stayed in the family. It meant something. Brother John, I think you have your daddy's home. I'm so glad. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. Don't hop all over the place the rest of your life. Find a place. And when your kids become teenagers, it's extremely important that they know where home is, because in those teenage years, things are a little unsteady. But if they know where home is, they'll make it back. They'll make it back. There's just something, you adults, that mom and dad are still around in the place where you grew up, special, isn't it? Just get to go back home. Something special about it. And may I say, you need to find your church home and lock in. Stop hopping all over the place. You really do. If you don't want to make Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church your church home, you go find one and you stay there. You go find a church that you believe that teaches the Bible right. You go there and you lock into it. I am 43 years old. I've been in 3 churches in my lifetime, and that's it. I went to the church where I grew up. It came to a point. My church did not have a Bible college. So when God called me to the ministry, I left that church and I went to the church where I went to Bible college. I stayed there for the next 18 years. You say, did it take you 18 years to get through college? No. It took me 16 years to get through college. No. I went to Bible college there. Then I stayed and I went on staff. And the only other church I've been in is this one, which actually means in 43 years, I've been in this church for 2. The other 41 years were spent in 2 churches. And the only reason I changed from one to the other is because my pastor said I needed to go off to Bible college. You be careful. You're just hopping constantly. Hopping here, hopping there. Did you know something? Do you know that if you disagree with me on something, that may happen. That may be common. But you know what some of you do? You'll disagree with me in one area of the ministry, and you'll go up the road and join a church that you disagree with in 5 areas. There are no perfect pastors and no perfect churches. We've got a perfect book and a perfect Savior and a perfect God. But no, we're not perfect. But some of you, your kids, they just about get settled in and get some decent friends in the Christian school, and you're gone. They just about get some friends in the church, and you're gone. I would not, if you work for Sears, I'd not let Sears lead you away from your church and your home. I would not let money lead me away from the things of God. Bad thing to do. They'll lead you all over the place. But you need not move around all the time. I'll tell you, God helping me, I never want to leave my house. I never want to leave the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. If I get my way, I'll grow old here. You'll hear me making adjustments in my preaching when I get hearing aids and false teeth. If they got to carry me up here in a wheelchair, I'll preach the wheels right off my wheelchair when I'm an old man. I don't want to go anywhere. I love my mountain. I even love Pupcake. Not much, but I love Pupcake the dog. And Mrs. Owens and I want to grow old with Pupcake, me and our hound dog on the front porch. We want the kids. I would love it if God would allow my children to grow up right here, and we just want to call this permanent. But I've only been in 3 churches my entire life. And some of you need to slow down. You need to get a church home and make it permanent. And some of you need to get a house and make it permanent. And just decide, for the sake of my family, this is it. This is it. Number 20, make holidays special for your family. What are we talking about? How to keep your house a home. Make holidays special for your family. Over the holidays, that special meal. Hey, moms, we all like that. You fix something special on the holidays. That's a good memory. Keep it up. Keep it coming. Let the family look forward to it. Decorate together and enjoy it. Now, I am not for the commercialization of Christmas, but I'm still for Christmas. I'm still for Christmas. Santa is not my hero. Jesus is my hero, and he is the reason for the season. But I am not going to ignore Christmas. I am for the birth of Christ, and I'm for enjoying it. Mrs. Owens has a Christmas pickle that she hides, and it's a tradition. You say, that's crazy. That's because she's crazy. She had to be to marry me. We have some special traditions. I get up every Christmas morning, and I make homemade donuts. And if you all come out and visit this Christmas, I'll make you some too. Just knock on the door, and if you can get past the vicious dog. But it's a tradition. My family, it means something to them. But those little things. You know, this thing of having a home, it's not as difficult as what we make it out to be. It's just slowing down long enough to spend time with one another and doing the important things. Have traditions at your house. If it is that every Christmas Sunday afternoon, you all get together and watch a football game, great. So do it. Now, you need to turn all the beer commercials off and all the half-naked cheerleaders off, but there's nothing wrong with that. that those special foods, if at Thanksgiving it's pumpkin pie, we'll keep the pumpkin pie coming because that's something that means something to your family. If it's turkey or ham, I think you ought to probably establish a tradition on Easter to have rabbit. Put the Easter bunny where he belongs. Maybe you ought to establish a tradition in your home for Groundhog Day. I don't know what it would be. Maybe invite your mother-in-law over. But if you do something special, Mother's Day, fantastic. Father's Day, fantastic. Make the holidays special. Make them important. And help your family to make those days important. I think it's all part of the atmosphere around a home. If you don't want your house to be just a house and you want it to be a home, then there are things that we do for relationships. You men, this won't seem like a big deal to you. But often when I'm counseling a marriage and I've spoken to a lady in private, she'll say something like, "He's just not, he doesn't give me a Christmas gift. He doesn't give me a birthday gift. He doesn't do that." Now, men, listen, that's important to her. That is important to her. And you say, "Well, I don't need one." Well, we're not talking about you getting one. We're talking about her getting one. And you're to cherish her. And even if it's not a lot, even if it's something simple, be good to her. And men, you will have to help your children be expressive to your wife and to their mother. You'll have to take them out and show them how to shop for her. And you ought to be reminding the kids, Mother's Day's coming, Christmas is coming, Mama's birthday's coming, it's Mom's anniversary, and wives, you ought to be doing, wives and mothers ought to be doing the same thing for Dad. You got to teach your kids to be expressive. And you need to help them to express it. Help them to buy the gift. Help them to get a card. And if all they can do is make their ex, help them get the card, let them make their ex, let them enjoy it and give it to Mama or give it to Daddy, help them wrap the gift. Boy, we're lazy. I don't know what you think makes for a good family, but all these little practical things, this is what make people happy, make us enjoy one another, make us enjoy our families, enjoy our homes. Number next, go shopping as a family. And I'm not really sure I believe this, but I've got it in my outline. I'm going to teach it. When our children were growing up, I'm not talking about anytime soon, okay? Just go shopping as a family once a year. Brother Nash, you might be able to help me. We were on our way to Hershey Park, and the kids were singing a song, and it included something about our first lady going to Walmart. Do you know what they were singing?
Ben does.
Ben does. Ben, where are you at? Ben, can you help me with it? Can you help me with it, Ben? Well, maybe you think about it, Ben, and if you get up the courage, you let me know. But Ben, they were singing a song that had something to do with Mrs. Owens and Walmart. Now, you all know how Mrs. Owens is so close to Walmart. I feel that we own stock in Walmart. If we don't, we should. We really should. They're putting a picture up of her in Martinsburg Walmart. When our children were little, and to this day, we'll shop together. And you know, what would be wrong with, instead of going to the grocery store and just throwing things in the cart, what's wrong with teaching your daughter while you're shopping and spending some quality time together? Things like, "Honey, let me show you why Mama's buying this one instead of this one. You see that? You see the quantity here? You see the price? And Mama always gets this one because of us and so." Moms used to do that. Men, instead of just pumping the gas, take a moment when you pull up to the gas station, get your boy out, show him how you pump the gas. Shop together, but spend time together. We're going to shop anyway, right? You say, "But otherwise, I just don't have time to spend time with my family." Then you don't have enough time. But there are so many little things that you do and that you must do. Why not do it with your family? What would happen if while you're going through the store and you pick up some food, you say to the kids, "God's blessed us with enough money to buy this cereal. God gave us enough money to buy bread. Look at all these things God's given us the money. We have these things." Shopping with your family. God helped us to get these things. You know, make a big deal about what God gives you. You know, if you take your kids out and you buy them some school clothes, why don't you take a moment and praise God that they got some new shoes? Instead, you just buy it for them, give it to them, and it's over. Teach your kids how to shop for clothing. Teach them how that everything doesn't have to be new. Teach them how to shop for bargains. Those things are important. They've got to learn it somewhere. And it can be family time. It can be a good time. And some of it would teach your kids to appreciate what they have. Number 22, use your imagination with your family. Don't limit yourself to these 20-some ideas that I've given you. Think about it. Add to it. Watch other successful families. I'm so glad when Mrs. Owens and I, we just got married. There was a family in our church. His name was Mike Stoner, and her name was Kathy. And they had the cutest little red-haired children. I don't know how many kids did. Honey, do you know how many kids they had all together? I think they had five. I think they've got eight or nine children now. But we were watching them rear their kids. We watched them make their kids set up and pay attention in church. We watched them discipline their kids. We watched them do things with their kids and play with their kids. And I was so excited to see someone else that knew something about rearing kids. Now listen, there's some couples around here that are trying real hard to rear good kids. Watch them. Watch a little bit. Hey, and everybody that's got children, you better realize somebody's watching you. What are you going to teach them? What are you going to teach them? You're going to teach them right? If you were listening, when we were reading there in the book of Titus, the Bible says that the older women are to be teaching the younger women to be keepers at home. They're to be teaching how to rear the kids, teaching how to love your husband, teaching to be sober-minded, teaching them not to be gossips. You're to teach them that. Well, you teach them one of the two. You're teaching them how to do it or how not to do it. Hey, have fun with your kids. If you don't have fun with your family, the devil will provide fun and it won't be so good. And realize this, and I'm finished for the night. Realize that if you're doing these things, you're either teaching your kids how to have a happy home when they're married, or you're teaching them the contrary. Your family life is most apt to be reproduced in your kids unless, and if that's bad, it's going to be because you've not set a good example for them. You say, Brother Owens, I did not grow up with these kinds of things. If you're a family, young, middle-aged, or old, you say, I did not grow up with these kinds of things, Brother Owens, then get it started now so your kids don't say, I didn't grow up with those things. You teach your kids so many of the things that you will do, your kids will mimic. And you say, well, it doesn't seem fair to me. I did not have these things. Okay, let's face it then. Sometimes life is not fair. But let's not make it so that your kids look back and say, you know, it wasn't fair. I don't have any memories with my dad. I don't have any memories with my mom. Our family fussed and fought, and we all went our separate ways. We lived our separate lifestyle. We didn't eat meals together. We didn't go on vacation together. We never read the Bible together. I never remember one time me and my mom and dad and the kids getting on our knees and praying at home. We didn't sit together in church. It was just a mess. And my mom and dad were glad when I turned 18 so I could get out of the house. And now I am a dysfunctional father. I have a dysfunctional family, as they call it. What it is, it's a backslidden, messed up, ungodly mess, not dysfunctional. Well, then let's break the trend. You say, well, I did not have this, and let's get started tonight. And let's provide it. And let's learn it and provide it for our own kids. And your grandchildren will rise up and call you blessed. They really will. Keeper at home. Let's guard the spirit of our homes. Dads, husbands, I promise you, I want to teach you. Brother Rickett Young and I, Brother Young teaches our men's Sunday school class, and Brother Young and I, we're working on the ministries around the church that are especially for the men. We're talking about having a men's activity here sometime this summer. Dr. Russell Anderson is coming to speak at our church in December. We're going to have a men's meeting. I'm going to take some time. We want to teach you the things that help a father, help a dad, help a husband. We want to teach you those things so you can establish the guidelines for your home. And you ladies, you make sure that you have the right spirit and the right attitude so you come and you protect those things. And children, whether you're a teenager or a child, you obey mom and dad. And let's just get our families together. Let's have good, strong families. Now, you need to stick with some of these things I've been teaching. Tonight's the last night. I'm going to go on to something else next Sunday night. Though we're going to come back, and this was just it started out as going to be a couple of sermons turned into five, and we're going to talk about it again. And at length, we're going to talk about our families, and that'll be part of the routine of my ministry here. I'll talk to you about marriage and your families and your children on a frequent basis because it's such an important thing. But don't forget what we've taught. Don't make it like so many other things that we preach. You hear it preach, and you get fired up about it for one day, and then you turn around the next, and you're not doing it. And you forgot about it 2 weeks later and you're not living it. Take some of these practical little things, put them into practice in your family, and I promise you, it may not change your family overnight, but eventually you'll get it together. You begin to see the changes. You'll see people, you'll see your family members wanting to be at home instead of wanting to race off and go their separate ways. And slow down a little bit. Slow down. If you don't have enough time for your family, you just don't have enough time. Because what if you had everything you wanted? The house, the car, the clothes, but there weren't no human beings to share it with. It wouldn't mean anything. Right. You're absolutely right. Let's get back to what means something. Houses are made of wood. Homes are made of people. And let's strengthen our homes. And God will be very pleased. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If